And one of the things we saw out there was a Korean swing, and the next slide gives you a view of what the whole thing is like. They don't swing like we do, which is back and forth, but once they get going, they swing up and down. And that's interesting to me, because in one of my seminar courses at MIT, we worked out how people swing, and we decided that there were two different techniques to swinging. One was raising and lowering your body mass, and the other was changing your angular momentum. And in Korea, they use the up and down body mass, whereas in America, we use exclusive changing angular momentum. The next slide shows her in a crouching position, I think. Well, I guess it was the first slide. Anyway, that concludes the Korean folk village. And from the Korean folk village, we go on to some temple tours that we took. We visited basically three temples. The first temple we visited with Mr. Nam, and it was perhaps in December or January. I guess it was February, and there was still snow on the ground. And the temples tend to be pretty far out from the city in beautiful settings along mountainsides, and we were really impressed by the quietness and the peacefulness of the monastery background. And we walked up a long path up the mountain. I guess that's part of getting into the psyche of the monastery, is a long hike up the hill on a dirt but pretty even path, and you get beautiful scenery along the way. This slide is of Barbara, Mr. Nam, and a person that we have a story about. The person in the middle is an English Buddhist monk, and she sort of surprised us with her garb. It's hard to tell male or female. We went up to the very top of the temple to a little section and ate lunch, and while we were there, the Buddhist monk went and told, word went around that we had two Americans there, and they told the English monk that there were two Americans, and she came and had lunch with us. And we found out that, for example, she had been staying there. She'd been in Korea about 3 months, and she seemed to have been picking up Korean pretty well, though she missed speaking English and other things. Her garb confused us. We had a hard time finding or determining if we were at a female monastery or a male monastery. They had several different little sections, and each one would be either male or female. We were at a female one, and she was also staying at one. And the only way you could really tell was the tone of their voices, because her head is shaved. You can't tell it here. They all wear the same clothes, and they all have shaved heads. It was pretty cold out, so she was wearing a stocking cap to keep her head warm. But after a while, we got used to it, and it didn't look so, at first we had to keep ourselves from staring, but it wasn't so bad later on. The next slide is as we approached one of their temples, and we saw something which we thought at first was the Nazi swastika, and we thought, gee, that's really strange, we don't understand it. It turns out that that's an inverted Nazi swastika, and it's the sign of Buddhism, and it's far older than the swastika. I think we found out in India that it actually means peace and harmony, or something like that, being at one with your karma, and has no relationship at all to the Nazis traditionally. The next slide is of Mr. Nam in front of a shrine, and I think this is actually a pretty typical shrine. Most of the ones you visit are more impressive than that, but they have shrines like this throughout the country, and you see them everywhere in Korea. On the sides of these shrines, they have little paintings and decorations. The logs are decorated with patterns, and then the open spaces are also painted. This is a picture of some of the more beautiful murals and also some of the well-decorated logs. The undersides of their ceilings are made up of logs which are decorated, well, first carved and then decorated with bright colors. And that's it for Donghwa Sa. Well, I was in error. I just changed boxes and found out that we're still with Dong Wasa. So we'll go on. This is showing the interior ceiling of one of the temples, also decorated. Most of the traditional temples have a very large bell and also something very large to strike the bell. We never heard the bell, but I guess it plays in with their ceremonies. What you have here is a large hanging carven fish, and that's what strikes the bell. I had a hard time getting a complete view because there were fences around it, and that's the best view we got of the fish, and I don't think I even got a picture of the bell. But what they do is the fish is hanging on two strands so that it can move laterally, and they get a swing on it and it bangs against the bell.